Mom, Dad, kids, come on. It's story time. Gather round as the Great News Radio Theater Troupe presents a radio adaptation of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Let's join them now in London during World War II.
Once there were four children, whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. This story is about something that happened to them when they were sent away from London during the war because of the threat of air raids. As our story begins, the children are at the train station in London after a bombing raid.
Oi, put out that light. Don't you know there's a war on?
Hey, just trying to show these kids our seats on the blessed train.
That don't affect the blackout. If it sees that torch, you'll bomb us all to bits.
Now, don't you scare the children.
We're not scared of Hitler, sir.
Evacuees, eh?
England's at war with Germany, so we're going to the country because London's having bombs dropped on it.
And your names are?
Peter.
Susan.
Edmund.
And Lucy. And our second name is Pevensey.
In your hut now, Pevenseys. Your train's ready.
No lights, mind.
Good luck, kids.
The children arrive at the house of an old professor who lives in the heart of the country, 10 miles from the nearest railway station and 2 miles from the nearest post office. He has no wife and lives in a very large house with a housekeeper called Mrs. McCready and 3 servants whose names are Ivy, Margaret and Betty.
The professor's house is huge.
And look, 3 servants at the front door.
So you'll be the evacuees.
We're the Pevenseys.
Oh, how nice. Ration books, if you please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I suppose we'll find room for you.
Of course we will. We'll find a couple of rooms for them. Let me see. You will be Peter and Susan and Edgar.
No, Edmund.
I beg your pardon, Edmund. And Lucy, child of light.
Just Lucy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm Professor Kirk. This is my house, and behold, this is my housekeeper, Mrs. McCready. I find it wise to obey her in most things, and these are the maids, Ivy, Margaret, and Betty. I hope your stay here will be happy and exciting.
Thank you, sir.
I'm off to hide in my study and work, so I will say good night.
Good night, sir.
Mrs. McCready will show you to your rooms after you've had a bite to eat.
This way, children.
What a marvelous room!
Look at all the books.
And brass beds.
The young ladies will sleep in here.
And the young gentlemen?
Through the blue door, and mind your heads. You'll find the necessaries under the beds. Good night. Sleep tight. Mind the beatsies. Don't bite.
Good night.
We've fallen on our feet, and no mistake. The professor will let us do what we like.
He's an old dear.
Oh, come off it. Don't talk like that.
Like what?
Like mother.
Edmund, it's time you were in bed.
There you are. Go to bed yourself, Susan.
This whole house is like the maze at Hampton Court.
That was hedges. This is rooms.
What's that noise?
Only a bird, silly.
It makes me feel creepy.
It's an owl. This is going to be a wonderful place for birds. I'm off to bed. We can explore tomorrow. You saw those mountains and woods. There might be eagles.
Stags, perhaps.
There'll be hawks.
Badgers.
Foxes.
Rabbits.
It'll be dragons and serpents if we don't go to bed. Come on, Edmund. Good night, girls.
Good night.
Happy dreams.
The next morning, a steady rain is falling as the professor meets with his staff near the front door.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Professor.
Beautiful rain today. About your duties, ladies, I must ensure that our young guests enjoy their stay.
If they are good, they will be happy, sir.
Of course, McGrady.
It would be raining. We're 10 miles from the railway station and 3 miles from the nearest sweet shop.
Do stop grumbling, Ed.
If it stops raining, can we dig a huge hole for an air raid shelter?
Oh, an excellent scheme. You may excavate down there in the garden at the foot of the steps. You'll find plenty of spades and forks in the green shed nearby when the rain stops.
In the meantime, there's a wireless and thousands of books.
Not for me. I want to explore the house.
Well, let me speed you on your way. When Mrs. McGrady shows round parties of sightseers, which she does once a week by arrangement, she always starts with this painting, and so shall we.
Who's that funny-looking girl and boy on a horse with wings?
Me and my friend Polly. Years ago...
You're flying over a beautiful country. Where is that?
Oh, my. Look at the clock. 10:16. I must return to work.
What are you working on, sir?
Wonders. Yes, I'm working on wonders, Peter. I'll leave you to explore the house. See you all at feeding time.
He's vanished.
Come on.
Hey, a suit of armor. Looks like it was made for a gorilla.
The room down there's all hung with green.
And there's a hop in the corner.
Playing all by itself.
That's just the wind blowing through a broken window.
Let's go up these stairs.
Room after room after room.
And all of them lined with books.
Mostly very old books.
Some of them are bigger than the Bibles at church.
Look, they've got the secret garden.
Treasure Island.
Round the world in 80 days.
The railway children.
Up some more steps.
Just one funny little room.
It's empty.
Except for the wardrobe.
Nothing else.
There's a dead blue butterfly on the windowsill.
Come on.
I think I'll stay and see what's in the wardrobe, though it's probably locked. Ah! Oh, only mothballs. What's this? Hundreds of coats. Long, furry coats. They're so soft. Leave the door open. It's very foolish to shut yourself in a strange wardrobe. More coats. Very dark. It goes on and on. Must be a simply enormous wardrobe. Oh, something crunching at my feet. Mothballs? No, it's all soft and powdery and cold. Very odd. And the fur rubbing at my face. It's gone all rough and prickly. Christmas tree branches? Oh, I'm in a snowy forest! And there's a light ahead of me, glowing. I can still see the room through the wardrobe. It's daylight back there, and nighttime out here. I can always nip back if anything goes wrong. I'll walk towards that light. Odder and odder. Why put a lamppost in the middle of a wood? And what do I do next? What's that sound?
The sound is that of a fawn walking in the woods, carrying an umbrella in one hand and several brown paper parcels with his other arm. From the waist upward, he is like a man. Below the waist, he is a black, hairy goat with hooves for feet and a tail. He has a pleasant, reddish face with a short, pointed beard, curly hair, and two horns on his head.
Huh? Goodness gracious me, what have we here?
Good evening. Oh, let me help you pick up your parcels.
Good evening, good evening. Excuse me, I don't want to be inquisitive, but should I be right in thinking that you are a daughter of Eve?
My name is Lucy.
But you are, forgive me, you are what they call a girl.
Of course I'm a girl.
You are in fact human.
Of course.
To be sure, how stupid of me. But I've never seen a son of Adam or a daughter of Eve before. I am delighted, that is to say, delighted, delighted. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Tumnus.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Tumnus.
And may I ask, O Lucy, daughter of Eve, how you have come into Narnia?
Narnia? What's that?
All that lies between the lamppost and the great castle of Caer Paravel on the eastern sea is the land of Narnia.
Narnia?
And you have come from the wild woods of the west?
I came here through the wardrobe in the spare room.
If only I'd worked hard with geography when I was little, Fawn, I should know all about those strange countries. Too late now.
But they aren't countries at all. It's quite different. Back there, it's summertime.
It's midwinter here in Narnia. It's been winter for ever so long, but you'll both catch cold if we stand here talking in the snow. Daughter of Eve from the far land of Spare Oom, where eternal summer reigns around the bright city of Ward Drobe, will you come and take tea with me?
Thank you, Mr. Tumnus, but I ought to be getting back.
It's only just round the corner. There'll be a roaring fire, and toast, and sardines, and cake.
Well, I can't stay long.
Take my arm, Daughter of Eve. I'll hold my umbrella over both of us. That's the way. Now, off we go. My humble home. After you, Daughter of Eve.
Thank you, Mr. Tumnus. Oh, you live in a very nice cave. I like the green carpet. And I see you have books.
Take a seat while I prepare the tea things.
I'd rather explore, if you don't mind.
Explore, explode, or stand on your head. It's all the same to me. I'm concentrating on the cookery side of life.
The first thing I do in a new room, I always inspect the books. Let's see. Nymphs and Their Ways. The Breeding and Care of Unicorns. Is Man a Myth? Huh. We haven't got any of those at home.
Now, Daughter of Eve. I wasn't sure what you'd like, so I've done everything. Nice brown eggs, lightly boiled, sardines on toast, buttered toast, toast with honey, and we'll finish with sugar-topped cake. I hope that'll do.
Oh, that'll do. This food is delicious, Mr. Tumnus.
Thank you.
Wow, I am really full. Tell me, what is it like, Mr. Tumnus, living in a forest in Narnia?
Let me sing a song about it.
Once it was midnight dancing with dryads who live in the trees, and nymphs who hide in the forest pools, and mermaids who swim in the seas. Once it was peace and plenty for animals, insects and fish, and all the forest folk went in search for the milk-white stag who grants every wish. And the sun rode high in a bluebell sky, and blossoms shone on every bough. In the long ago, long before the snow, but it's always winter now. Always winter now. But it's always winter now.
Mr. Tumnus, your song's lovely, but really, I must go home.
It's no good now, you know.
Mr. Tumnus, whatever's the matter? Mr. Tumnus, don't... Are you well? Here, Mr. Tumnus, here, take my handkerchief. Mr. Tumnus, stop it at once. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, a great big fawn like you.
I don't suppose there's ever been a worse fawn since the beginning of the world.
What have you done?
My old father now. That's his portrait on the mantelpiece. He would never have done a thing like this. I'm in the pay of the White Witch.
The White Witch? Who's she?
She's the one who keeps all Narnia under her crooked thumb. She's the one who makes it always winter. Always winter and never Christmas. Think of that.
How awful. But what does she pay you for?
I'm paid to be her. A kidnapper. Look at me, Daughter of Eve. Would you believe that I'm the sort of fawn to meet a poor innocent child in the wood and invite it home to my cave for tea so that I could hand it over to the White Witch?
You wouldn't do anything of the sort.
But I have.
Well, that was pretty bad, but I'm sure you'll never do it again.
Don't you understand? It's not something I have done. I'm doing it now.
What do you mean?
You are the child. The White Witch told me that if ever I saw any human children, I was to catch them for her. And you're the first one I've ever met. So I pretended to be your friend and asked you to tea. And all this time I've been waiting for you to fall asleep so I could go and tell her.
Oh, but you won't, Mr. Tumnus, will you?
If I don't, she's sure to find out. She'll cut off my tail, saw off my horns, and pluck out my beard, and she'll wave her wand and turn me to stone, and I'll be a statue of a fawn until the four thrones at Caer Paravella filled, if that time ever comes.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Tumnus, but please let me go home.
I didn't realize what humans were like, but now I know you, I can't hand you over to the witch. If I see you to the lamppost, can you find your own way back to spare room and wardrobe?
I think so.
Quietly does it. The whole wood is full of her spies. Even some of the trees are on her side.
It's really dark now.
Shh, keep to the shadows. Do you know your way from here, Daughter of Eve?
Yes, there's the wardrobe.
Then home you hurry quick as you can. And can you ever forgive me?
Of course I can. I hope he won't get into too much trouble because of me.
Farewell, Daughter of Eve. May I keep the handkerchief?
Of course. Goodbye, Mr. Tumnus.
The rain has just stopped. The grass is wet. Peter, Susan, and Edmund are removing shovels from the shed to start the air raid shelter.
I'm here! I've come back! I'm all right!
What on earth are you talking about, Lucy?
Get your boots on. Come and help dig for victory.
Weren't you all wondering where I was?
Have you been hiding and nobody noticed you'd gone?
You'll have to hide longer than that if you want people to start looking for you.
But I've been away for hours and hours.
Huh?
Batty. Quite batty.
What do you mean, Lou?
What I said. Just after breakfast, I went into the wardrobe, and I've been away for hours and hours. And I had tea and all sorts of things happened.
Don't be silly, Lucy. We left you in that room a few minutes ago and came out to dig.
You're just making up a story for fun, aren't you, Lou?
I'm not. It's a magic wardrobe. There's a wood inside it, and it's snowing, and there's a fawn and a witch, and it's called Narnia. Come and see.
I suppose we better.
Okay, follow me. Here we are. Now, go in and see for yourselves.
It's just an ordinary wardrobe. You can see the back of it.
Solid wood.
Like Lucy's head.
That's enough, Ed. All right. Good hoax, Lou. You really fooled us all.
But it wasn't a hoax. Really and truly. It was all different just now. Honestly.
Come on, Lou. You've had your joke. Drop it. Come on, everyone. We've got a shelter to dig.
When Alice came home from Wonderland, did a family laugh and jeer? When Crusoe sailed back from his island, did they say you imagined it, dear? When Dorothy flew in her ruby slippers from the Emerald City of Oz, did her Auntie Em say it was all a dream? I bet they all did, because Father's in the Royal Navy, somewhere out at sea. I'm dreaming of submarines, submarines, misery me. Mother would come down from London, but she isn't free. I'm dreaming of falling bombs, misery me. We're here in the heart of the country, and we play in the pond by the mill, and we fish for trout in the river, and we slide down the side of a bumpy old hill. and I should be as happy as Larry, playing cowboys and Indians all day. But everyone believes I'm a liar, so I wish I could grow some wings and fly far away. Father's in the Royal Navy, somewhere out at sea. I'm dreaming of Narnia, Narnia, misery me. Mother would come down from London, but she isn't free. I'm dreaming of Narnia, Narnia, misery me.
All right, children, I see you're finished with your breakfast. Please clear the dishes. There you go. Now run and play.
Today it's raining. Let's go play hide and seek.
All right, I'll be it first. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, someone's coming. There's no other place to hide, so it's into the wardrobe again.
Just as Lucy enters the wardrobe, Edmund enters the room.
Oh yes, she's back in the wardrobe. Lucy, Lou, where are you? I know you're in here, somewhere.
Edmund steps into the wardrobe and soon finds himself in the snowy forest in Narnia.
Lucy, Lucy, I'm here too. She's angry with me. Listen, Lou, I'm sorry I didn't believe you. You were right all along. Make it Pax. Just like a girl, sulking somewhere, won't accept an apology. Right, and I'm so cold.
Edmund looks around, then stops as he hears the sound of bells. He stares in disbelief. There sweeps into sight a sledge drawn by one large horse with a harness of scarlet leather covered with bells. The driver is a bearded dwarf in polar bear fur and a red hood with a long golden tassel hanging down from its point. Behind him, on a much higher seat, sits a very tall lady dressed in white fur right up to her throat. She holds a long, straight golden wand in her right hand and wears a golden crown. Her face is as white as snow, except for her ruby red lips.
Stop!
Whoa!
And what, pray, are you?
My name's Edmund.
Is that how you address a queen?
I beg your pardon, your majesty. I didn't know.
He didn't know.
Not know the Queen of Narnia? You shall know us better hereafter. I repeat my question. What are you?
Please, your majesty, I'm still at school, but it's the holidays
but
now.
But what are you? A great overgrown dwarf that has cut off its beard?
Are you?
No, your majesty, I've never had a beard. I'm a boy.
A boy?
A boy?
You are a son of Adam? I see you are an idiot, whatever else you may be. Answer me now. Are you human?
Yes, your majesty.
And how, pray, did you come to enter my dominions?
Please, your majesty, I came through a wardrobe.
A wardrobe?
A wardrobe.
What do you mean?
I opened a door and just found myself here, your majesty.
A door? A door from the world of men? I have heard of such things. This may wreck all. But he is only one, and easily dealt with.
The queen rises from her seat and raises her wand towards Edmund, but suddenly stops.
Ah, my poor child. How cold you look. Come and sit with me here on the seat. I will put my mantle round you and we will talk.
Yes, your majesty.
Here you are. Watch your step now.
Something hot to drink?
Yes, please, your majesty.
The queen pulls a vial from under her fur, pulls out the stopper, and slowly lets one drop fall and hit the snow. It hisses, then turns into a golden chalice filled with a bubbly blue liquid. Grumpskin bends to pick it up and gives it to Edmund.
Here's your drink.
I've never had this before. Very sweet and foamy and creamy. It warms you right down to your toes.
It is dull, son of Adam, to drink without eating. What would you like best to eat?
Turkish delight is my favorite, Your Majesty.
The witch lets one more drop fall to the snow before capping and putting away the vial. This time, it produces a box of Turkish delights, each wrapped in paper. Grumpskin retrieves this for Edmund as well.
Turkish delight!
Thanks! So sweet and light, right to the very center. I've never tasted anything so Turkish.
And do you live all alone in your world, son of Adam?
Oh no, I've got one brother and two sisters. One of my sisters went to Narnia. She said she met a faun.
And do all the people in your world know about Narnia?
No, only me, my brother, and sisters know anything at all about it.
Are you sure there are just four? Two sons of Adam, two daughters of Eve. Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Yes, I told you that before. Turkish delight, Turkish delight. Chunky and chewy and sweet and bright.
Two sons of Adam, two daughters of Eve.
Neither more nor less.
Yes!
Turkish delight, Turkish delight, chunky and chewy and sweet and bright.
But remember the old prophecy? When Adam's flesh and Adam's bone sits at Care Paravel enthroned, the evil time will be over and gone.
No, I hate that old prophecy. I have replaced it with a new one of my own. Two kings who shall never be king, two queens who shall never be queen, four thrones which are under a spell will stay empty always at Caer Paravel. We have caught one of them, Grumpskin. He is falling, falling under my spell. Soon we shall capture all four.
Now, son of Adam, I should so much like to meet your brother and your two sisters. Will you bring them to me?
I'll try.
Because if you did come back and bring them to my house, I'd be able to give you lots more Turkish delight.
Why can't we go to your house now?
Oh, it's such a lovely place, my house. There are whole rooms full of Turkish delight.
Whole rooms full?
And I have no children of my own. I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince. He would be king of Narnia when I am gone. As prince, he would wear a golden crown and eat Turkish delight all day long. Edmund, you are much the cleverest and handsomest young man I've ever met. I would like to make you the prince some day, when you bring the others to visit me.
Why not now?
Oh, first I must meet your brother and your sisters. You will be king one day, and a king must have noble courtiers. I will make your brother a duke, and your sisters duchesses.
There's nothing special about them.
Go back now to your own country and come to me another day. With them, you understand. It is no good coming without them.
No good.
But I don't know the way home.
Step down and I will show you. See, there stands the lamp. Straight on beyond that is the way to the world of men. And now look the other way. Can you see two hills rising above the trees?
I think so.
My house is between those two. Next time you come, look for those two hills and walk through the woods till you reach my house. But remember, bring the others with you. I would be very angry if you came alone.
Very angry.
I'll do my best.
And by the way, you needn't mention me to them. That fawn may have told your sister nasty stories about me.
Nasty stories?
Fawns will say anything, you know.
Just lead them towards the two hills. And when you come to my house, you can say, let's see who lives here, or something like that.
Please, 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 couldn't I have just one more piece of Turkish delight to eat on the way home?
No. You must wait till next time. Onwards. Next time. Don't forget. Come soon.
Poor Edmund did not know what the Queen knew, but once he had tasted her enchanted Turkish delight, he would always want more and more and never be satisfied, even with all the Turkish delight he could ever stuff in his body. That is why his stomach hurt even now, and why he starts following after the Queen's sledge, not seeing Lucy approach from behind.
Edmund!
Oh, it's you, Lucy.
Oh, Edmund, so you got in too. Isn't it wonderful? And now?
All right, you are right. It's a magic wardrobe. I'll say I'm sorry if you like, but where have you been? I looked everywhere.
I've been having lunch with dear Mr. Tumnus. The White Witch hasn't punished him for letting me go.
The White Witch? Who's she?
She's terrible. She calls herself the Queen of Narnia, but she has no right to be the queen of anything. All the fauns and dryads and naiads and dwarves and animals, at least the good ones, really hate her. She turns people into stone, and she's made magic so that it's always winter in Narnia. Always winter, but it never gets to Christmas.
Who told you all that stuff?
Mr. Tumnus, the faun.
You can't believe what fauns say.
Who said so?
Everyone knows it. Ask anybody. My feet are freezing. Let's go home to the professor's house.
Yes, let's. Oh, Edmund, I am glad I've seen you in Narnia too. The others will have to believe me now.
Well, there's the wardrobe.
You look awful, Edmund. Do you feel ill?
I'm all right. Little bit sick.
Must have been something you ate. Come on then, let's find the others. There's so much to tell them. We'll have great adventures now, all four of us.
Lucy takes Edmund's hand and drags him into the wardrobe, then bursts out through the door. She excitedly runs to find the others, with Edmund following slowly.
Caught you, Peter! I knew you'd be there!
Peter! Susan! It's all true! Edmund's been there too! There's a country through the wardrobe! We both got in, into the snowy woods! Edmund, tell them all about it!
What's all this about, Ed?
Tell us, Ed!
Oh, yes. Lucy and I were playing, pretending that story about a country in the wardrobe is true. Just for fun, you know. There's nothing there, really. No such place as Narnia. She's off again. That's the worst of little kids. They always...
Shut up! You've been vicious to Lou ever since she started this nonsense about the wardrobe. And now you go playing games, which set her off again.
But it's all nonsense.
Of course it's all nonsense. That's just the point. Lou was perfectly all right when we left home, but down here, she seems to be either going ill in the head or else turning into a terrible liar. But you don't help by jeering at her one day and egging her on the next.
I thought...
You didn't think of anything at all. It's just spite. You've always been a bully. We've seen that at school.
Stop it! A row won't help. Let's go and find Lucy.
They look and look until finally they find her in the newly dug air raid shelter.
Oh, found her! Lucy, come out and talk.
I don't care what you think. Don't care what you say. You can tell the professor. You can write to Mummy. I know I've met a faun in Narnia, yet I wish I'd stay there, because you all are beasts. Beasts and worse than beasts. Just go away!
Oh, there's something really wrong with her.
Yes, she's never been like this. We better tell the professor. He'll write to Father if he thinks there's something really wrong. Come on, he has a study.
Come in.
Welcome to my study. Sit you down. I am totally at your disposal.
It's about Lucy. We think she's ill.
Well, ill in her head, or at least very muddled. She told us she'd been through the wardrobe in that little room and found herself in a snowy country called Narnia.
And she met a faun there and had tea with him. All right, we thought she was making tea for fun, but she swears it's true.
And now she claims she's been back to Narnia, this time with Edmund.
And of course, Edmund says it was just a game.
We all know you can't walk into a wardrobe and find yourself in a magic country, but Lucy gets angry when anyone doubts her story, and now she hates all of us.
How do you know that your sister's story isn't true?
Oh, but Edmund said they were only pretending.
That is a point which deserves very careful consideration. Now,
Does your experience lead you to regard your brother or your sister as the more reliable? Which is the more truthful?
That's the funny thing, Professor. Up till now, I'd have said Lucy every time.
I'd say the same as Peter, but it couldn't be true. All this stuff about having tea with a fawn?
A charge of lying against someone whom you have always found truthful is a very serious thing indeed.
Perhaps it's not lying. Perhaps there's something wrong with Lucy.
Madness, you mean? Oh, make your minds easy about that. One has only to look at her and talk to her to see that she is not mad.
But
logic! Why don't they teach logic at these schools? There are only three possibilities. Either your sister is telling lies, or she is mad, or she is telling the truth. You know she doesn't tell lies, and it's obvious that she is not mad. Therefore, we must assume that she is telling the truth.
But if it's real, why doesn't everyone find this country every time they open the wardrobe? There was nothing there when we looked.
What has that to do with it?
Well, sir, if things are real, then they're there all the time.
Are they?
But Lucy didn't have time to go anywhere. She ran after us as soon as we left the room and pretended she'd been away for hours.
That is the very thing that makes her story so likely to be true. If there really is a door in this house that leads to some other world, I should not be surprised if that other world has a separate time of its own. So that however long you stay there, it never takes up any of our time. And if she were pretending, she would have hidden for a reasonable time before popping out to tell her story.
You mean there could be other worlds? All over the place? Just round the corner? Like that?
Nothing is more probable. I wonder what they do teach them at these schools.
But what are we to do?
My dear young lady, there is one plan which no one has yet suggested and which is well worth trying.
What's that?
We might all try minding our own business. Good day to you.
Thank you, sir.
Sometime later, Lucy enters the house alone, where she suddenly meets Mrs. MacCready.
It's funny. Quite suddenly, everyone's much nicer to me. Edmund's not teasing me. Well, Peter stopped him. And I'm going to keep quiet about the wardrobe.
Miss Lucy, I'm showing some sightseers around the mansion today. Would you and the other little monsters hide yourselves out of the way?
We'll be quiet as corpses.
Very nice. Now quickly, here comes the Sharabang.
Peter, Susan, Ed, clear the decks. Landlubbers boarding.
This way, please assemble by the painting in the hallway here.
They're coming!
Great herd of elephants.
We begin our tour under a fine painting by the artist Ray.
And who are the children on a horse with wings?
That is a work of pure imagination by the painter.
And the beautiful landscape where they are flying. What country is that?
Probably Scotland. We must be moving on. Down there, you'll see the Irish parlor. Note the haunted harp.
Quick, up here.
So many rooms, so many books.
Back in the old wardrobe room.
Oh no!
That dead blue bottle's still there.
They won't come up here.
Here they come. Quick, there's nowhere else to hide. The wardrobe.
Ugh, I wish the MacCready would hurry up and take all those people away. I'm getting all cramped.
There's a filthy smell of camphor.
That's mothballs.
Something's sticking in my back.
Oh, it's freezing.
It's wet. Let's get out. They've gone.
Oh!
What's the matter?
I'm sitting against a tree. Look, it's getting light. Over there.
You're right. Trees all round. And this wet stuff. It's snow. We've gotten to Lucy's wood after all. I'm sorry I didn't believe you, Lucy. Shake hands?
Of course.
What do we do next?
Explore the wood.
It's getting colder. Better put on coats.
Let's pretend we're Arctic explorers.
It's exciting enough without pretending. Come on.
Shouldn't we go a bit more to the left if we're aiming for the lamppost?
What?
Oh.
So you really were here with Lucy, and you made out she was telling lies? Of all the poisonous little beasts.
Where are we going anyway?
Lucy, you lead the way.
We'll see Mr. Tumnus first. He's the fawn I told you about. Come on then. This way. I'll go in first.
Oh my! The door's been wrenched off its hinges! No! Mr. Tumnus! Oh no, Mr. Tumnus!
What's wrong?
Lucy, come out of there. Lucy! Lucy!
Poor Mr. Tumnus. Poor Mr. Tumnus. It was a lovely cave.
What's happened?
It's as if somebody's dropped a bomb. Everything's broken. All the plates and cups. And this painting of Mr. Tumnus's father. Look, it's been slashed to pieces by somebody's claws.
Is Mr. Tumnus down there?
No, but I found this notice pinned up.
Let's see. The former occupant of these premises, the Fawn Tumnus, is under arrest and awaiting his trial on a charge of high treason against Her Imperial Majesty Jardis, Queen of Narnia. Also of comforting Her Majesty's enemies and fraternizing with humans. Signed, Morgrem, Captain of the Secret Police. Long live the Queen.
I don't much like Narnia.
Who's this Queen?
She's not a real Queen. She's the White Witch. All the wood people hate her. She casts a spell over the whole country, so it's always winter here. Always winter, but never Christmas.
Narnia doesn't seem a very friendly place. It's getting colder every minute, and we've brought nothing to eat. Let's go home.
We can't. That poor Fawn's in trouble because of me. He hid me from the witch and showed me the way home. That's what it means by comforting the Queen's enemies and fraternizing with humans. We've got to rescue him.
We can't do anything. We haven't even got any food.
Shut up, you! What do you think, Susan?
Oh, I wish we'd never come here, but Lucy's right. We must try to help this fawn.
I agree. If only we knew where they've taken him.
Look, a robin. It's the first bird I've seen here. I wonder if birds can talk in Narnia. Please, can you tell us where Tumnus the fawn has been taken? He wants us to follow him.
Why not?
The bird flies slowly from tree to tree, leading the children through the woods. As they follow, Edmund approaches Peter quietly.
If you're not still too high and mighty to talk to me, I've something to say which you better listen to.
What is it?
How do we know whose side this robin is on? Why shouldn't it be leading us into a trap?
Robins are good birds in all the stories I've ever read.
This isn't a story, is it?
I'm sure a robin wouldn't be on the wrong side.
If it comes to that, which is the right side? How do we know that fawns are good and that the queen is bad?
The fawn saved Lucy.
He said that he did, but how do we know?
The robin's flown away.
So we're lost. What do we do now?
Shh! Look!
What?
Something moving! Through those trees! There!
I see. Just behind that willow.
What is it?
Don't know. It's Nib that doesn't want to be seen.
Oh, let's go home.
Where's home?
What is that thing?
Some kind of animal. Look, there it is.
Hey, come over here.
It's a beaver. You can tell by the tail.
And the sticky out teeth.
It's sort of beckoning us.
Shall we follow it, Lucy?
I think it's a good beaver.
Yes, but how do we know?
Risk it. We can't just stand here till we starve.
All right, stick together. Four of us should be a match for one beaver.
Over here. Crouch down. Make yourselves as small as you can. Are ye the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve?
Well, some of them.
Shh! Not so loud, please. We're not safe even here.
Who are you scared of? There's nobody here but us.
Trees have ears. They're always listening. Most of them are on our side. But there are trees would betray us to her.
How do we know you're our friend?
Not meaning to be rude, Mr. Beaver, but you see, we're strangers in Narnia.
Quite right, quite right. Here is my token.
That's my handkerchief, the one I gave to poor Mr. Tumnus.
Right. Just before he was arrested, he gave it to me. He said that if anything happened to him, I must find you and take you. Hey, come closer. They say Aslan is on the move.
Perhaps he's already landed.
Aslan?
Aslan.
Aslan.
Aslan. But what about Mr. Tumnus? Where's he?
Shh! Not here. Come down here to my house on the dam for a real talk and some dinner.
The four follow the beaver towards the dam and a little house of stacked wood with smoke curling up from a hole in its roof. Edmund stops as he notices twin hills rising from the woods in the near distance, while the beaver catches two fish through a hole in the ice.
What a lovely dam!
Merely a trifle. It's still rather leaky.
Those two hills, that must be where she lives.
Ooh, better fetch some fish. Shh. That's one. That'll do. Here we are. And it looks as if Mrs. Beaver is expecting us. I'll lead the way. Here we are, Mrs. Beaver. I found them. The sons and daughters of Adam and Eve.
You've come at last. To think that ever I should live to see this day. The tatties are on boiling and the kettle's singing, and I dare say, Mr. Beaver, you've fetched us some fish.
That I have.
Good. Now you can all help me fill the kettle and lay the table and put the plates in the oven while I fry these fish.
When the frying pan hisses, in with the fishes. It's going to be delicious, so heat up the dishes. Take the trout out by his tail or his snout. Carve him up, serve him up, and everybody shout. I crunches it, I munches it, till I'm about to burst. I swallows it and follows it with something for my thirst. Beer from the barrel, tea from the pot. Fill every mug and swiggle down the lot. Some like it cold, and some likes it hot. But I likes it anyways, I swiggle down the lot.
Potatoes are mashing, butter is splashing. There's lots of yellow butter, that's the beaver fashion. Now here's a bowl full of marmalade rolls. Steamy and sticky, so shout with all your soul.
I crunches it, I munches it, till I'm about to burst. I swallows it and follows it with something for my thirst. Beer from the barrel, tea from the pot. Fill every mug and swiggle down the lot. Some likes it cold and some likes it hot. But I likes it anyways, I swiggles down the lot.
Beer from the barrel, tea from the pot. Fill every mug and swiggles down the lot. Some likes it cold and some like it hot. But I like it anyways, I swiggles down the lot. I swiggles it, I swaggles it, I swaggles it, I swaggles it, I swiggles down the lot.
What?
I swiggles down the lot.
Better get doing to business, Mrs. Beaver. It's snowing again. That's good. Anyone following you won't find any footprints.
What's happened to Mr. Tumnus?
Oh, a very, very bad business. He was taken off by the secret police. I got that from a magpie who saw it doon.
But where have they taken him?
They were last seen heading northwards. And we all know what that means.
We don't.
It means they were taking him to the witch's house.
But what'll they do to him, Mr.
You
Beaver?
You can't exactly say for sure. But her courtyard is full of stone statues. Nanian, she's magic with her wand. Victim, she's turned into stone.
We must do something to save him. It's all because of me.
You go into that witch's house, you'll never come out alive.
Couldn't we have some stratagem? I mean, can't we dress up as, oh, peddlers or anything? Or, oh, hang it all. There must be some way. This fawn saved my sister, Mr. Beaver. We can't just leave him to be turned to stone.
It's no good, son of Adam. We can't save him alone. But now that Aslan is on the move...
Oh, yes. Tell us.
Tell us about him.
About Aslan.
Who is Aslan?
Aslan? Why, don't you know? He's the king. He's the lord of the whole wood. But not often here, you understand. Never in my time or my father's time. But the word has reached us that he has come back. He's in Narnia at this moment. He'll settle the White Witch all right. It's Aslan, not you, that will save Mr. Tumnus.
Won't she turn him into stone too?
Lord love you, son of Adam. What a simple thing to say. Turn Aslan into stone? If she can stand on her two feet and look him in the face, it'll be the most she can do and more than I expect of her. No, no. He'll put all to rights.
As it says in an old song in these parts, wrong will be right when Aslan comes inside. At the sound of his roar, sorrow will be no more when he bears his teeth. Winter meets its death, and we shall have spring again when he shakes his mane.
You'll understand when you see him.
Is he a man?
Aslan Amon? Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion. The lion. The great lion.
I thought he was a man. I'll feel rather nervous about meeting a lion.
Oh, that you will, dearie, and no mistake. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees a-knocking, they're either braver than most or just mad.
Then he isn't safe?
Safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you.
I'm longing to see him, even if I do feel frightened.
That's right, son of Adam, and so you shall. Word has been sent. You are to meet Aslan at the stone table.
Where's that?
Down the river a good step from here. I'll take you.
But what about poor Mr. Tumnus?
Well, quickest way to help him is by going to meet Aslan. Once he's with us, we can begin doing things. Things must be drawing near their end now he's come, and you four have come.
Why?
There's a castle on the sea coast called Cae Paravel, and there's an old prophecy that says, when two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve, that's you lot, sit in the four thrones of Cae Paravel, the White Witch's reign will be over. If she knew about you four, your lives wouldn't be worth a shake of my whiskers.
Where's Edmund?
How long has he been gone?
Well, who saw him last?
Is he outside? Come on! Edmund! Edmund!
Edmund!
Oh, it's terrible. I wish we'd never come.
What can we do, Mr. Beaver?
Do? We must be off at once. We haven't a moment to spare.
We better divide into four search parties. All go in different directions. Whoever finds him must come back here at once, and...
No point in looking for him.
He can't be far away.
But we know where he's gone. He's gone to the White Witch. He's betrayed us all.
How will we find her?
Has he been in this country before?
Yes.
Did he tell you who he met?
No, he didn't.
Then mark my words. He's already met the White Witch and joined her side. I didn't like to mention it before, he being your brother and all. But the moment I set eyes on him, I said to myself, treacherous. He had the look of one who has spoken with the witch and eaten her food. You can always tell him if you've lived long in Narnia. Something about their eyes.
We'll have to go and look for him. He is our brother, even if he is a little beast.
No, you cannot go to the witch's house. Your only chance of saving him is to keep well clear of her.
How do you mean?
As long as Edmund's the only one she's got, she'll keep him alive as bait to catch the rest of you.
Can't anybody help us?
Only Aslan. We'll go and meet him. He's our only chance.
Just when did your brother slip away? How much he can tell the witch depends on how much he heard. We had started talking of Aslan before he left.
He was still here. Edmund asked if the witch could turn Aslan to stone.
That's right.
Worse and worse. Was he still here when I told you we're to meet Aslan at the stone table?
I don't know.
I didn't see him go.
He must have crept out. I don't know when.
The moment Edlin tells her we're here, she'll set out to catch us.
so she'll be here in about 20 minutes.
You're right, Mrs. Beaver. We must get away. There's not a moment to lose.
After leaving, Edmund walks through the woods to the Twin Hills and finds the Queen's house just before the last of the sun's rays disappear. Her courtyard, lit only by the moon, seems much darker than the woods outside. As he enters the gloomy courtyard, he is frightened by dark figures standing about. Slowly, he makes his way inward.
A lion? Why is it standing so still? Hey, its head is all covered in snow. Only a statue. Cold stone. So this is the great lion Aslan. The queen's turned him into stone. So that's the end of all their fine ideas. Who's afraid of Aslan? Yeah, stupid old Aslan. How do you like being a statue?
Edmund soon finds that they are all stone. He sees a satyr, and a wolf, some bears, another wolf. He also sees foxes, and cougars, and dryads, and a centaur. He pauses to admire a winged horse, and then a dragon. Then he sneaks carefully around a giant so as not to awaken him. He finally reaches the end of the courtyard and stops as he encounters one last animal. This one lying across the passageway.
It's all right. Only a stone wolf. It couldn't hurt a flea. I'll just have to step over it.
Who goes there? Stand still, stranger, and tell me who you are.
If you please, sir. My name is Edmund, and I'm the son of Adam. Her Majesty met me in the wood the other day, and I've come to bring her news that my brother and sisters are now in Narnia. Quite close, at the Beaver's house. She wanted to see them. Who are you, sir?
I am Mogrim, the chief of the Queen's secret police. I enjoy my work very much.
Will you tell Her Majesty I am here?
I will tell her. Meanwhile, stand still on the threshold as you value your life.
I wonder what the witch, I mean the queen, I wonder what she'll do to the others. I don't really want them turned into stone statues, but I badly need some Turkish delight. And I want to be a prince, and then a king. I could pay Peter back for calling me a beast. I mustn't be afraid. Try to think of something nice. Ah, yes, Turkish delight. Turkish delight.
You are privileged, son of Adam. Come in. Fortunate favorite of the queen, or else not so fortunate. Come in and meet the Queen of Narnia.
At the Beaver's house, Mr. Beaver and the three children are desperately urging Mrs. Beaver to leave immediately.
Come on, no time to lose.
Perhaps I should pop back in and collect that ham.
No, too late for that.
At least I didn't forget the packet of tea. And we've got sugar and matches and... Oh, that's one, two, and three.
What are you doing, Mrs. Beaver?
Well, I'm making a lunch pack for each of us, my dear. It's a long, cold journey ahead.
But the witch will be here any minute.
Now don't you get fussing, there's a dear. Will you each take one of these clean handkerchiefs for the journey?
Handkerchiefs or not, it's time we were out of this, Mrs. Beaver.
Don't you fuss me, Mr. Beaver. Here you are, a tasty little lunch pack. Each of you keep going.
Oh, please, come on.
Nearly ready now. I suppose my sewing machine's a little too heavy to bring.
Oh, a great deal too heavy. You couldn't use it on the run, could you?
Well, I can't abide the thought of that witch fiddling with it and breaking it as likely as not.
Please hurry.
All right. Off we go. Come on, don't linger.
Wow, a big throne room. But it's dark and empty, except for the stone faun and the queen. I've come, Your Majesty.
How dare you come alone? Did I not tell you to bring the other three along with you?
Answer the great queen.
Please, Your Majesty, I've done the best that I can. They're in Mr. and Mrs. Beaver's house.
Is this all your news, son of Adam?
No, Your Majesty. The Beaver says Aslan's on the move.
Aslan?
They're going to meet him at the stone table.
Aslan? Morgrem, is this true? Edmund, if I find you have lied to me...
No, that's what the Beaver said.
We must make ready for a journey.
Everything is prepared, Your Majesty.
Please, Your Majesty, I didn't have much lunch. Could I have some Turkish delight?
Silence, fool! Bring the human creature food and drink.
At once, Your Majesty.
It will not do to have this brat fainting on the way for lack of food.
Your Majesty's wisdom is only exceeded by her beauty.
Very true, Morgrem.
Here's your food and drink. Turkish delight. Turkish delight.
That's stale bread and mucky water.
Eat and drink.
Yes, I'm sorry.
You'll get used to prisoner food. I should leave the green beds.
Grumpskin, Morgrem, remember your mistress's prophecy. Two kings who shall never be king. Two queens who shall never be queen. Four thrones which are under a spell will stay empty always at Caer Paravel. Morgrem, this is the plan. Take the swiftest of your wolves to the House of the Beavers. Kill whatever you find there. Then make all speed to the stone table and wait for me.
I hear and obey, O Queen.
What's he doing?
Summoning his fellow wolves, fool. Make ready our sledge and use the harness without bells.
The harness without bells. Yes, Your Majesty.
It is dark when the Beavers and Pevensey children leave the house, laden with supplies. Mr. Beaver cautiously guides them across the landscape as they all, especially Lucy, grow exceedingly tired.
Come on! Now wait! Okay, keep going.
We've been walking for hours!
Come on, Lucy.
I cannot drag my old tail much further.
Here we are. It's an old hiding place for beavers in bad times.
Well, if you hadn't all been in such a plaguey fuss when we were starting, I'd have brought pillows for everybody.
The dawn's coming.
Listen.
Sounds like the witch's sledge.
Oh, no.
I'll creep up and see which way she goes.
Has she seen him?
Come out, everybody. It isn't her. This is a nasty knock for the witch. Her power's crumbling already.
What do you mean, Mr. Beaver?
Well, you know, she made it always winter and never Christmas.
Well, would you have a look at this?
A sledge drawn by brown reindeer swoops from the sky, and Father Christmas, dressed in a bright red robe with white fur trim and a great white beard, climbs out with a large sack of presents.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Always winter, never Christmas, that was the spell she cast. Always winter, never Christmas, but her time is past. Soon the witchery of winter will be melting fast, and Christmas is here at last.
Good.
And now for your presents. There's a fine new sewing machine for you, Mrs. Beaver. I'll drop it in your house as I pass by.
If you please, sir, it's all locked up.
Oh, locks and bolts make no difference to me. And as for you, Mr. Beaver, you will find your dam finished and mended, and all the leaks stopped, and a new sluice gate fitted.
Oh, thank you.
Peter, Adam's son.
Here, sir.
These are for you. This sword and shield are tools, not toys.
time to use them may be near at hand. Bear them well.
Thank you. I will.
Susan, Eve's daughter, this is for you. Whenever your people are in peril, blow this ivory horn, and help will come.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Lucy, Eve's daughter, this diamond bottle contains cordial made from the juice of one of the fire flowers that grows on the mountains of the sun. Whenever you or your friends are hurt, a few drops will make you better. And now, something to warm you all.
Suddenly, before them appears a tray of cups, saucers, sugar, milk, and piping hot tea.
Merry Christmas, and long live the true king.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye, Father Christmas.
Goodbye, Father Christmas.
Always winter, never Christmas, that was a smash cast. Always winter, never Christmas, for the time is past. Soon the witchery of winter will be melting fast, and Christmas is here at last. As lad is on the move, on the move. As lad is on the move, on the move. As lad is on the move, on the move.
Come on, Olivia. Warm yourselves up with a nice cup of tea.
We'd better drink it on the run. Time to be moving on.
The group quickly drinks their tea and hurries on. The sun is fully up as they start out. They walk for hours. At mid-afternoon, they happen upon another party. A squirrel family, a satyr and a fox are celebrating Christmas too.
Oh, look! There's a Christmas party ahead.
Merry Christmas!
Stop and have some plum pudding.
Oh, we can't stop for anything. Sorry.
A Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas!
What was that man with the horns?
A satyr, I suppose.
Satyrs? Father Christmas? What's happened next?
As Mr. and Mrs. Beaver hurry them over the crest and down into the next valley, the witch, Grumpskin and Edmund happen upon the same celebration party.
What have we here? Stop!
Whoa!
What is the meaning of this? Speak, vermin, or do you want my dwarf to find you a tongue with his whip?
Find you a tongue with my whip?
What is the meaning of all this gluttony, this waste, this self-indulgence? Where did you get all these things?
Please, Your Majesty, we were given them, and if I might be as so bold as to drink Your Majesty's very good health.
Who gave them to you?
Who?
Father Christmas.
What? He has not been here. He cannot have been here. How dare you? But no, say you have been lying, and you shall even now be forgiven.
He has. He has been here.
No, don't. Please don't. Don't turn them into stone. No.
As for you, let this teach you to ask favor for spies and traitors. Drive onwards.
Onwards.
Watch your driving, clown.
There's something wrong, Your Majesty. The snow seems to be melting.
And how can the snow be melting? It's always winter here.
Of course, Your Majesty. All the same, the sledge is good and stuck.
Well, don't sit staring, fool. Get out and help.
Come on. Come on. It's no good, Your Majesty.
Then we must walk.
I'll never overtake them walking. Not with the start they got.
Are you my slave or my master? Do as you're told. Tie the hands of the human creature behind it.
Come here.
Please, not so tight. I won't try to escape.
No, you won't.
That's the way. Keep hold of the end of the rope and take your whip.
Take my whip.
And cut the harness of the horse. It'll find its own way home. You're wasting time. Quick, march.
All night they walk as the snow covering trees and ground melts away. it becomes so foggy that they can see nothing but each other. Still, they trudge on, while the witch and Grumpskin drive the bound Edmund onward to their destination. Finally, the sun rises, and the fog lifts to reveal a golden display of moisture dripping from the trees, new green growth, and flowers budding.
Faster! Faster!
Look, crocuses! We had crocuses at home, I remember.
Mind your own business!
Faster! Faster!
This is no thaw. This is spring. What are we to do? Your winter has been destroyed, Your Majesty. This is Aslan's doing.
If either of you mention that name again, he shall instantly be killed. Onwards! Faster! Faster!
Hup! Hup! Faster, stupid!
Meanwhile, the beavers and pevensies also travel all night and almost all day until they reach the top of a green grassy hill. Exhausted, they are cheered by the sounds and sights before them in the nearly setting sun.
That was a kingfisher.
Is winter really over?
Ah, this is spring, all right. That old witch can't use her sledge on all this juicy grass.
Oh, I've got a bit of blister on my heel.
I think we all've got a blister or two, Leary.
Not long now. Look down there.
By gum, the sea.
The stone table.
They all stare at the stone table for a while. It is a great grim slab of grey stone, supported on four upright stones. It looks very old, and is cut all over with strange lines and figures that might be letters of an unknown language. Nearby is a pavilion with sides of yellow silk and cords of crimson and tent pegs of bone. High above it on a pole, a banner bearing a red rampant lion flutters in the breeze. Nearby, they see a gathering of dryads and naiads, tree women and well women, plying stringed instruments, as well as centaurs, a unicorn, an eagle, and others. At the center is the great lion himself, Aslan, flanked by two leopards, one carrying his banner and the other his crown. The crowd is singing joyously, and the music is heard on the hill above and is welcoming as the small band of beavers and humans approaches.
Oh, who lovely! Come to the table, all who love loving. Come to the table, all who love Aslan. Come to the table. There's plenty of room at the table for all. Centaurs and dryads, come to the table.
First,
sons of Adam before animals.
We have come, Aslan.
Welcome, Peter, son of Adam. Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. Welcome, he beaver and she beaver. But where is the fourth?
He has tried to betray them and joined the White Witch, O Aslan.
That was partly my fault, Aslan. I was angry with him. I think that helped him to go wrong.
Please, Aslan, can anything be done to save Edmund?
All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think. Meanwhile, let the feast be prepared. Minister to these daughters of Eve.
Please come with us, daughters of Eve.
Come,
son of Adam, and I will show you a far-off sight of the castle where you are to be king. There, do you see it?
Yes, why, it's amazing. It looks like a great stork resting on the shore of a blue-green ocean with a fiery light shining from all its windows.
That, O man, is Caer Paravel, the Four Thrones, in one of which you must sit as king. I show it to you because you are the firstborn, and you will be high king over all the rest.
That's Susan, blowing the ivory horn.
Your sister is in danger.
Danger?
Peter draws his sword and runs towards the bugle blast. He sees naiads and dryads scattering in all directions. Then Lucy sees him and runs towards them. Susan suddenly rushes into sight and up a tree quickly, followed by a snarling wolf. Other creatures fall in behind Peter, but Aslan stops them.
Back! Let the prince win his spoils.
Peter rushes up and aims a slash of his sword at Morgrim's side, but Morgrim dodges and misses. Morgrim turns around and snarls at Peter. He moves a little to his left, then growls angrily as he lunges for Peter's throat. Round and round, back and forth, the two lunge and dodge until Morgrim finds an opening. He quickly coils and springs with all of his might. Peter barely has enough time to turn before he is knocked down with Morgrim on top. The two struggle until there is no motion. Then Peter crawls out from under the wolf and pulls his sword from between its ribs. Morgrim is dead.
Quick, quick! Centaurs, eagles! There's another wolf in the thicket. After him, all of you. He'll be scampering back to his mistress. Follow him, find the witch, and rescue the fourth son of Adam. You have forgotten to clean your sword, Peter.
Yes, Aslan. There, done.
Now hand it to me and kneel, son of Adam. With this sword, I dub thee Sir Peter Wolfsbane. Rise up, and whatever happens, never forget to wipe your sword.
Not far away in a dark valley that a pale yellow moon tries to brighten, Edmund, hands tied behind his back and exhausted, lays face down on the ground close to where Grumpskin and the witch sit, plotting.
It is no use, O Queen. They must have reached the stone table by now. Let us keep this one prisoner. Let them bargain for him.
Yes, and let them rescue him.
Then we had better do what we have to do at once.
I would like to have done it on the stone table itself. That is the proper place. That is where it has always been done.
Spare me, Your Majesty. Let me go home.
You have no home.
I've seen them, Your Majesty. They're at the stone table. With him, they killed my captain, Morgrim. I was hidden in a thicket and saw it all. That son of Adam killed him. We must fly! Fly!
There will be no flying. Go quickly. Summon all our creatures to meet me here as speedily as they can. Call out the giants and the werewolves and the spirits of those trees who are on our side. Call the ghouls and the boggles, the ogres and the minotaurs. Call the cruels, the hags, the specters and the people of the toadstools. We will fight. What? Have I not still my wand? Will not their ranks turn into stone even as they advance? Be off quickly. I have a little business to finish here in private.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, we have no table, let me see. We had better put it against a tree trunk. Prepare the victim while I sharpen my knife.
No! Let me go back to the world of men. I'll never come back to Narnia. I promise!
With Edmund tied to the tree, Grumpskin undoes Edmund's collar and folds back his shirt at the neck. He then raises Edmund's head for the Queen's knife.
I raise my knife
And now you die!
No, please!
The witch and Grumpskin are suddenly attacked by centaurs, a unicorn, deer, and large birds. She loses her knife, grabs Grumpskin, and disappears. Unseen, she turns them both together into a mushroom. Everyone's attention is on Edmund.
Let him lie down. Give him some wine.
Drink this. Steady now. You'll be all right soon.
Who's got the witch?
Thought you stuck her with your horn.
No, but I knocked that dagger out of her hand.
I was after the dwarf.
Do you mean she's escaped?
What's over there?
Only a mushroom.
Take up the son of Adam gently and bear him back to the stone table.
All right, mushroom. Those creatures have gone.
But what are we going to do now, Your Majesty?
I am going to pay a visit. Follow me.
A visit?
Good morning, Susan and Lucy.
Where's Edmund?
Up on the hill. He's been talking with Aslan since before sunrise. Oh, here they come now.
Sir Peter, Susan, Lucy, here is your brother, and there is no need to talk with him about what is past.
I'm sorry.
Look, just forget it, Ed.
I'm sorry.
Yes, just forget it, little brother.
I'm really sorry, Lou.
Oh, it's all right, the way it's turned out.
Sire, a messenger from the enemy craves audience.
Let him approach. What is your message, son of Earth?
The Queen of Narnia, an empress of the Lone Islands, desires a safe conduct to come and speak with you on a matter which is as much to your advantage as to hers.
Queen of Narnia, indeed. Of all the cheek.
Peace, Beaver. All names will soon be restored to their proper owners. Tell your mistress, son of Earth, that I grant her safe conduct if she will leave her wand behind her at the Great Oak.
The Great Oak. That is agreed.
Suppose she turns the leopards into stone?
They'll be all right. Trust Aslan.
Oh, here she comes now. Large as life and twice as ugly.
You have a traitor there, Aslan.
Well, his offense was not against you.
Have you forgotten the deep magic?
Let us say I have forgotten it. Tell us of this deep magic.
Tell you what is written on that very table of stone which stands beside us. You at least know the magic which the Emperor put into Narnia at the very beginning. You know that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey. For every treachery, I have a right to kill. So that human creature is mine. His life is forfeit to me. His blood is my property.
Come and take it then.
Fool! Do you think your master can rob me of my rights by mere force? He knows the deep magic better than that. He knows that unless I have blood, as the law says, all Narnia will be overturned and perish in fire and water.
It is very true. I do not deny it.
Oh, Aslan, can't we? I mean, you won't, will you? Can't we do something about the deep magic?
Work against the Emperor's magic? Fall back, all of you, and I shall talk to the witch alone.
Oh, Edmund.
Don't cry, Lou. Aslan will do whatever can be done.
Even Aslan can't go against the deep magic.
Look, they are done.
You may all come back. I have settled the matter. She has renounced the claim on your brother's blood.
But how do I know this promise will be kept?
Oh, look at her run.
Silence now. There is work to do. You must move from this place at once, for it shall be wanted for other purposes. We will encamp tonight down there at the fords of Baruna.
What do you think he's arranged with the witch?
I don't know, but he looks very stern.
Peter, walk with me. As soon as she has finished her business on this hill, the witch and her crew will fall back to her house and prepare for a siege. You may be able to cut her off in the wood. Now, if you fight the witch and her creatures there, you should use your main force to drive down from the high ground. But keep your centaurs below the wood, ready to charge when the witch is chased out.
I see.
And on the other hand, if you have to assault her castle, surround it at a distance. Move in gradually, wait and watch until you have found her weak point.
But you will be there yourself, Arsalan.
I'm sorry, I can give you no promise of that.
What if she attacks us tonight, down at the Fords of Baruna?
No, she will not attack tonight. All the same, that is how a soldier ought to think. But it doesn't really matter. Come now, Peter, let us join the others at the forge and take our supper together.
Time passes. The sun sets and darkness falls, but Lucy and Susan cannot sleep.
Can't you sleep either?
No, I thought you were asleep. Susan?
What?
I've got this feeling, as if something's hanging over us.
Me too.
It's about Aslan. Something terrible going to happen with him. He's going to do something terrible.
He's been acting strange ever since he talked with the witch. Lucy, what did he say about not being with us at the battle? Do you think he'll steal away and leave us tonight?
Where is he? I looked for him all around the camp and I couldn't find him.
Look, it's Aslan. He looks so sad.
Oh, children, children, why are you following me?
We couldn't sleep. Please, may we come with you, wherever you're going?
Well, I should be glad of company tonight. Yes, you may come, but only if you promise to leave me when I tell you.
Thank you, thank you. Aslan, dear Aslan, what's wrong? Can't you tell us?
Are you ill, dear Aslan?
No, I am sad and lonely. Lay your hands on my mane so that I may feel that you are there. Good. Now let us walk together.
Susan and Lucy bury their hands in his mane and walk along with him towards the stone table. Aslan stops beside a bush.
Oh, children, children, here you must stop. Hide by this bush, and whatever happens, do not let yourselves be seen. Farewell.
Susan and Lucy sob as they cling to the lion and kiss his mane and nose and paws and eyes. Then Aslan turns from them and walks out to the stone table at the top of the hill. Lucy and Susan crouch in the bush, watching him. A great crowd of creatures converge on the stone table, many of them carrying flaming torches. Standing beside the stone table is the witch herself. The crowd fearfully howls and gibbers as Aslan appears amongst them. The witch recovers first.
The fool has come. Bind him fast. Cruels, horrors, incubuses, orkneys, hags and etins, efrits and woozies. Come to the carnival, come to the feast. Come to the capture of the royal beast. Stop! Let him first be shorn. Puckles, thrummy caps, frolicking and bumbleyos. Nobles, shilling coats, never, never stray goes. Come to the carnival, come to the feast. Come to the shearing of the royal beast.
Why, he's only a great cat after all.
Is that what you were all afraid of?
Puss, puss, ball, puss, eh? How many mice have you caught today, cat?
Would you like a saucer of milk, pussum? Oh, how can they? The brutes, the brutes!
Shh. Muzzle him!
Cowards! They're afraid of him even now!
Banshees, bloody bones, minotaurs, and spriggans! Fetches, gringes, snuggles, and morgans. Come to the carnival, come to the feast. Come to the carnival, come to the feast. Come to the killing of the royal beast.
And now, who has won? Fool, did you think that by all this you would save the human traitor? Now I will kill you instead of him, as our pact was. And so the deep magic will be appeased. But when you are dead, who can stop me from killing him too?
understand that you have given me Narnia forever, you have lost your own life, and you have not saved his. In that knowledge, despair and die.
No! She's going to stab him!
Oh, I can't look!
There! It is finished. Now, follow me, and we will all set about what remains of this war. It will not take us long to crush the human vermin and the traitors now that the great fool, the great cat, lies dead.
Yes, Aslan is dead. The evil witch has killed the great lion on the cold, hard stone table. After the witch has taken her hoard to make war on Aslan's army, Lucy and Susan, with heavy hearts, come out of hiding and walk slowly to where he lies, still bound and muzzled.
That horrible muzzle. Let's take it off him.
Grab that side, and I'll take this. Pull!
Through their tears, they unbuckle and pull off the muzzle. Then they pull out their handkerchiefs and wipe and kiss his face.
Come on, untie him. The knots are too tight. We'll never manage.
What's that moving in the grass?
I can't see. Oh, yes! Hundreds of horrible little mice crawling all over Aslan. Get off him!
Wait! Stop! Don't you see what they're doing?
Yes, they're nibbling away at the ropes.
Yes, they're friendly little mice. Poor little things. Don't they realize Aslan is dead? They want to help him.
Oh, look. The sun is rising.
I'm so cold.
Oh, so am I. Let's walk around a little to get your blood going.
Oh, over there. Look. Cair Paravel.
Oh, it's beautiful.
What's that?
I'm too scared to look.
They must be doing something dreadful to Aslan. Come on.
The girls run to the stone table from whence the sound came. They find it cracked and broken into two large pieces, and Aslan's body is gone.
They might have left his poor body alone.
Who's done it? What does it mean? Is it more magic?
Ha ha ha, yes, it is more magic.
Oh, Aslan!
Aren't you dead then, dear Aslan?
I am not dead. Not now.
You're not a ghost?
Do I look like a ghost?
Oh, you're real. You're real. Oh, Aslan. But what does it all mean?
It means that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack, and death itself would start working backwards. And now...
Oh, yes, now?
Oh, children, I feel my strength coming back to me. Oh, children, I can leap again.
Aslan lashes his tail, then makes a mighty leap and lands on his feet a distance away. Lucy and Susan delightedly chase after him.
A lion leaps on the grassy mound. The trees of the forest dance all around. The lion leaps and spins around. The whole world is my stomping ground. A great journey to go. You must ride on me, on Lionback. And now I feel I am going to roar. You had better put your fingers in your ears.
Aslan crouches down, and Susan and Lucy climb on his back. Behind them, the earth appears to fall away as they seem to go galloping downhill and through the forests. Susan and Lucy deliver a running commentary as the images of landscapes change and blur behind them and the racing lion.
Have you ever had a gallop on lion back?
Well, imagine the padding of great paws, the soft roughness of golden fur, and the mane flying back in the wind.
And you're traveling faster than a train, on a mount who never grows tired. He rushes on and on, never missing his footing, threading his way between tree trunks,
jumping over bush and briar and rocks and streams, wading and swimming over the rivers.
And you're not riding down a road or through a park, but right across Narnia in spring, down solemn avenues of beech, across sunny glades of oak,
through wild orchards of snow-white cherry trees, past roaring waterfalls and echoing caves,
up windy slopes alight with gorse bushes,
over the shoulders of heather mountains,
along giddy ridges, and down again.
Into wild valleys and out into acres of blue flowers.
Blue flowers.
Blue flowers.
Look below you.
A toy castle.
No, that is the witch's house. Now, children, hold tight, shut your eyes. We're going to land in the witch's courtyard.
Oh, what an extraordinary place! All those stone animals. It's like a museum.
Or a graveyard.
Shh! Watch Aslan. Look! He's blowing on them, and they're coming back to life.
Spite of the spell of the wand of the witch has laid us in a trance cold and deep, but the warmth of the breath of the lungs of the lion shall waken us all from our stony sleep.
There's a lion, and a dwarf, a dryad, a rabbit, and a giant. Is it safe?
It's all right. Once the feet are put right, all the rest of him will follow.
That wasn't exactly what I meant.
Bless me. I must have been asleep. Now, where's that dratted little witch that was running about on the ground? Somewhere around my feet, I think.
She's not here, Mr. Giant.
Where's she off to, then? I've got a word or two to say to her.
Don't worry. We'll find the witch.
Aslan! Aslan, I found Mr. Tumnus! Tumnus!
My goodness! It's the daughter of Eve!
Oh, it's so good to see you!
You as well!
I'm so glad that you're all right!
But how do we get out of this courtyard? All the gates are locked.
Hello up there! What's your name?
Giant Rumblebuffin, if it please your honor.
Giant Rumblebuffin, will you help us break out of this miserable place?
It will be my pleasure, your honor. Stand back from the gate now, little ones. First the lock. Now the gate.
What a useful, kind giant.
Oh yes, the Buffins always were. One of the most respected giant families in Narnia. Not very clever, perhaps, but very kindly people. If he'd been the cruel kind, she'd never have turned him into stone.
Our day's work isn't over yet. If the witch is to be finally defeated, we must find the battlefield at once.
And join in the battle, I hope, sir.
Of course. And now, those who cannot keep up, children, dwarves, and small animals, you must ride on the backs of those who can. Lions, centaurs, unicorns, horses, giants, and eagles. Those who are good with their noses must come in front with us lions to smell out where the battle is. Look lively and sort yourselves out.
Did you hear what he said? Us lions. That means him and me. Us lions. That's what I like about Aslan. No side, no standoffishness. Us lions. That meant him and me.
Are you all ready?
Yes!
Yes!
Then follow me!
Near the stone table, two armies are in a mighty battle. Aslan's army, led by Peter and Edmund, is fighting desperately against the forces of the witch. Many have fallen on both sides, and the witch has turned a number of Aslan's troops into stone statues. She is just about to turn a leopard into stone when Edmund gets near to her and jumps in to save him. She spins to face him instead and turn him into stone.
Aslan!
Nasty little double traitor! I'm going to turn you into stone! My wand! He broke my wand!
Reach for your stone knife, my lady. That won't break.
The witch is fast. She draws her knife and stabs Edmund before he can react. Edmund stumbles and falls just as Peter arrives by his fallen body. The witch's attention then shifts to Peter. Both stare at each other fiercely. The witch with her knife and Peter with his sword as both armies stop fighting and gather in a wide circle to watch their leaders fight each other for the victory.
Surrender now, boy!
Surrender yourself!
You have no chance. You have no magic.
I have Aslan. That is magic enough.
I have Aslan. That is magic enough.
No, Peter has slipped and fallen. He has lost his sword. The witch is about to kill him.
I have Aslan. That is magic enough.
Look, Aslan has appeared and has killed the witch.
The white witch is dead.
The queen is dead. The prophecy has happened.
You have done well.
It was all Edmund's doing, Aslan. The witch was turning our troops into stone right and left. We were almost beaten. The witch was turning one of your leopards to stone. But Edmund saw her and fought his way through three ogres to reach her. Then he smashed his sword down on her wand so she couldn't turn anyone else to stone. That was when the tide of the battle turned. But she wounded Edmund terribly. Where is he?
Here's the wee lamb.
Quick, Lucy.
Oh, yes. Father Christmas's cordial. Here, Edmund. Edmund!
There are other people wounded.
Yes, I know. Wait a minute.
Daughter of Eve. Others are also at the point of death. Must more people die for Edmund?
Oh, I'm sorry, Aslan. I will go and heal as many as I can. Susan, come help me. Does Edmund know what Aslan did for him? Does he know what arrangement with the witch he really was?
Shh, no, of course not.
Oughtn't he be told?
Oh, surely not. It would be too awful for him.
All the same, I think he ought to know.
Come here, Lucy. These creatures also need your cordial. All shall be well. And tomorrow, you shall sit in state in the great hall of Caer Paravel.
Caer Paravel!
And this brings our story to the great Caer Paravel, where Peter, Edmund, Susan and Lucy are crowned kings and queens by Aslan himself. The hall, which overlooks the sea, is full of light and cheering crowds.
Oh, Mr. Beaver, can you believe it? We are in Caer Paravel.
It is more magnificent than I ever imagined.
Oh, and here come the new kings and queens.
Oh,
a king or queen in Narnia, always a king or queen. Bear it well, sons of Adam. Bear it well, daughters of Eve.
Oh, listen. The mermaids are singing.
Long live King Peter, brave on the battlefield. Long live Queen Susan, so gentle of mind. Long live King Edmund.
with your praise. Aslan has crowned you, go into glory, and lead us to golden harmonious days.
Now, I think we're supposed to give rewards and honors to all our friends.
But where's Aslan? He's gone. Quick, look out the window.
There he goes.
He'll be coming and going, you know. One day you'll see him, and another you won't. He doesn't like being tied down. And of course, he has other countries to attend to. It's quite all right. He'll often drop in. Only, you mustn't press him. He's wild, you know. Not like a tame lion.
Many years later, the beavers, Tumnus and Rumblebuffin, are sharing stories around a bonfire on the beach near Caer Paravel.
These two kings and two queens governed Narnia well, and long and happy was their reign.
At first, much of their time was spent in seeking out the remnants of the White Witch's army and destroying them.
Indeed, for a long time there would be news of evil things lurking in the wilder parts of the forest.
A haunting here.
And a killing there.
A glimpse of a werewolf one month.
And a rumour of a hag the next.
But in the end, all that foul brood was stamped out.
And they made good laws and kept the peace.
And saved good trees from being cut down.
And liberated young dwarfs and young satyrs from being sent to school.
And generally, stop busybodies and interferers.
And encouraged ordinary people who wanted to live and let live.
And they drove back the fierce giants in the north of Narnia when they ventured across the frontier.
And they entered into friendship and alliance with countries beyond the sea and paid them visits of state and received visits of state from them.
And they themselves grew and changed as the years passed over them. Peter became a tall and deep-chested man, and a great warrior, and he was called King Peter the Magnificent.
And Susan grew into a tall and gracious woman with black hair that fell almost to her feet, and the kings of countries beyond the sea began to send ambassadors asking for her hand in marriage, and she was called Susan the Gentle.
Edmund was a graver and quieter man than Peter, and great in counsel and judgment. He was called King Edmund the Just.
But as for Lucy, she was always joyous and golden-haired, and all princes in those parts desired her to be their queen, and her own people called her Queen Lucy the Valiant.
So they lived in great joy. And if ever they remembered their previous life, it was only as one remembers a dream. And then, one year.
Great news, your majesties. The white stag has appeared again.
The white stag?
The stag will grant the wishes of anyone who catches him.
Well, let's go find him then.
Fair consorts, let us follow this white stag into this thicket, for in all my days I have never pursued a nobler beast.
Sir, let us do so.
Fair friends, he was a great marvel, for I seem to see a tree of iron bearing a lamp.
This lamp worketh upon me strangely. It runs in my mind as if I have seen the like before, as it were in a dream, or a dream of a dream.
By the lion's mane, it is even so with me.
And with me.
And with me also, and more. For I feel that if we pass this lantern, either we shall find strange adventures, or else some great change of our fortunes.
Madam, the like foreboding stirreth in my heart also.
And in mine too. So let us lightly return to our horses, and follow this white stag no further.
Madam, we four kings and queens in Narnia have never set our hands to any high matter, such as battles, quests, and the like, and then abandoned them.
Sister, we should be shamed if for any fearing or foreboding we turned back from following so noble a beast.
I had such desire to find the significance of this thing that I would not turn back for the richest jewel in Narnia and all the islands.
Then in the name of Aslan, let us go on and take the adventure that shall fall to us.
Then follow me, through these branches, through these through these coats.
Coats?
And out.
And out?
Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy, as children, tumble out of the wardrobe into the room. They stand and stare at each other.
So, if you will kindly follow me down and not touch the ornaments, I will lead you into the historic kitchens and a nice cup of tea.
We're back.
We must tell the professor.
Let's keep it a secret.
We should tell him.
We've got to tell him. We left four of his fur coats in Narnia.
The four rush into the professor's study. The professor listens solemnly to the story as Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy all tell it at once.
It started when I climbed through the wardrobe and into a country called Narnia, and I met a faun called Tamnus.
And there was a horrible witch.
And the most wonderful lion you ever saw.
And we had battles.
And rescues.
And I was very stupid.
But Aslan saved us, and we were grown-up kings and queens in Narnia.
And then we found ourselves back in the wardrobe room, and we were children again.
But please don't tell us not to be silly or not to tell lies.
It's all true.
I believe you. I believe your whole story. But I don't think it will be any good trying to go back through the wardrobe door to get the coats. You won't get into Narnia again by that route. Indeed, don't try to get there at all. It'll happen when you're not looking for it. And don't talk too much about it, even among yourselves. And don't mention it to anyone else unless you find that they've had adventures of the same sort.
How will we know?
Oh, you'll know, all right. Odd things, they say. Even their looks will let the secret out. Keep your eyes open. Bless me, what do they teach them at these schools?
Will we really go back to Narnia again someday?
Yes, of course. Once a king in Narnia, always a king in Narnia.
What?
Once a queen in Narnia, always a queen in Narnia.
Long live the mountains, long live the forests, where unicorns wander, centaurs run free. Long live the valleys and hills of Narnia.
And that is the very end of the Adventures of the Wardrobe. But if the professor is right, it is only the beginning of the Adventures of Narnia. You have just heard the Great News Media adaptation of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. The cast in order of appearance is the following. Narrator, yours truly, Jackie Johnson. Air Raid Warden, Reed Harvey. Railway Porter, Cyrus McDaniel. The Pevensey Children, Peter, John McDaniel. Susan, Claire McDaniel. Edmund, Evan Unzicker. And Lucy, Sophia Bengston. Ivy, Annette Coker. Margaret, Audrey Killian. Betty, Brenda Ewenson. Mrs. McCready, Ellen Wentworth Norris. Professor Kirk, Dan Nielsen. Mr. Tumnus, Austin Coker. Grumpskin, William Zanelli. The White Witch, Dawn McDaniel. The Three Sightseers, Jane Bergman, Brenda Ewenson, and Nancy Seward. Beaver, Cyrus McDaniel. Mrs. Beaver, Katrina Hornback. Morgrim, Matt McCaig. Father Christmas, Brian Shaley. Old Fox, Evan Unzicker. Aslan, Tad Jagic. Satyr, Leah Killian. Small Squirrel, Stephen Zanelli. Wolf, Les Joyer. Unicorn, Beth Sullivan. Centaur, Caleb McCaig. Deer, Melissa Rainwater. Eagle, Mark Burns. Leopard, Alaric Shafley. Witches Creatures, Sophia Bengston, Leah Killian, Jane Bergman, Melissa Rainwater, Summer Hollis, Beth Sullivan, Audrey Killian, Rebecca Zanelli, Elizabeth McCaig, Lisa Unzicker, Mary Grubb, Brody Wilson, and Josephine Wilson. Giant Rumble Buffin, Les Joyer. Lion, Elowin Unzicker. King Peter, Zane Coulter. Queen Susan, Emily Gilliford. King Edmund, Reed Harvey, and Queen Lucy, Summer Hollis. Songs in the script were sung by the players mentioned above, except for Lucy, sung by Summer Hollis, Tumnus, sung by Les Joyer, Grumpskin, sung by Tad Jagic, and the statues were sung by Courtney Canfield, Elowin Unzicker, Hannah Neratz, Leah Killian, and Dan Nielsen. The songs in the score and some of the background music was performed by piano, Joellen de Vilbis and Felix Chan, flute and clarinet, Kavi Naidu, drums, Josiah Vaughan and Summer Hollis. The crew includes the following: Great News Media General Manager and Recording Engineer, Mark Burns. Great News Radio Theatre Director, Kate Freeman. Script Adaptation for Radio, Sound Engineer and Assistant Director, Les Joyer. Vocal Music Director, Dee Chesser. Music Consultants, Jacob Nagley and Dawn McDaniel. Cast Assistant, Ellen Wentworth Norris. Scheduler, Anna Tolstick. Script and Director Assistant, Nancy Seward. Assistant, Brenda Uinson. We gratefully acknowledge scriptwriter Adrian Mitchell of United Agents, book author C.S. Lewis of C.S. Lewis Private Limited, musical score by Sean Davey, Ian Amos Music Management, instrumental background, the Royal Shakespeare Theatre, 1999, of the Royal Shakespeare Company. And finally, our sincere thanks to all of you. We hope you enjoyed the adventure.
Praise God, amen and amen. I hope you were blessed by this special production. Thanks for listening to this 2-hour retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. To find out more about the theater troupe, go to greatnewsradio.org, that's greatnewsradio.org, and click on the Ministries tab, and then click on Theater Troupe. You can also learn about our Singing Men's Choir, our Children's Choir, English Conversation Classes, Israel Trips, Prime Lifetime's Publication, Ministry Leaders Network, and all about our radio broadcasting ministry. Stop by greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org.